Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We have to fight against the culture, even the culture of the church that we live in these days, where you can be still very independent of any kind of responsibility toward anybody else. You can be very individualistic. You can come to church, do your thing, get your blessing or whatever, and then just, that's it. That's not the way it works.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Galatians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, in a message titled, Bear One Another's Burdens. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So as we come to the final portion of this letter, we come to chapter 6 here, that what he says now, it goes back to what he was talking about earlier. Now, the thing that we need to understand about just the Christian life itself, the Christian faith, is that the Christian faith is a one another lifestyle. In other words, the Christian faith is not to be lived in isolation. And what Paul is going to remind us of here is the fact that we need each other, because we all have burdens and we need help carrying those burdens. You know, the world sort of teaches you in some senses and, you know, in some cultural context to, you know, you go it alone. You know, you never tell anybody about your problems. You just bear up and don't let anybody know that you're struggling, and you just get a stiff upper lip sort of a thing, and, you know, you just press through. And that's not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is that we are connected to one another and we are to help each other with our burdens. So there's three particular burdens that Paul addresses here in these verses. First of all, there's the burden of sin. Secondly, there's the burdens of life. And then thirdly, there's the burden of ministry. So we want to talk about each one of those, beginning, first of all, with the burden of sin. Now, the fact of the matter is, the reality is Christians sin. And sometimes Christians get overtaken by sin. And that's what Paul is referring to here. Notice what he said. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. So think about that in your mind. To be overtaken, it's almost like to be sort of chased down, tackled, and bound up. That's kind of the picture here. So somebody has been sort of ensnared in sin, trapped in sin. If that's the case, or when that is the case in certain people's lives, then Paul says that those who are spiritual are to seek to restore them. Different situations call for different approaches. There's places in Scripture where we're told to rebuke people who are in sin. We're told to warn people who are in sin. There's some cases where we're even told to remove them from the fellowship. But in every one of those, still, the ultimate end game is to see them restored, to bring them back. So we have to understand that. That's God's heart. It's always to restore. It's always to bring people back. And if we understand that, we will also understand why it is that God is so patient with people. And it'll help us to realize that we need to be patient with people as well. But he says to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. You know, I've been a Christian for quite a while. I've lived through a lot of cycles and seasons in my own Christian life. And I have been there at times in my own life, and I've been around people that have been like this, where, you know, been through seasons where people around me, or maybe even I myself to a certain extent, you kind of get this rebuke mentality. I've even heard people say, you know, God's given me a ministry of rebuke. And, you know, they go around basically just being mean to people in the name of Jesus, you know. And that's not the Lord. That's not the way it works. He says here that we are to restore people in a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of meekness, a spirit of humility. And one of the things that I've learned over the long years of pastoral ministry is people rarely respond positively to harshness. And I've seen how much more responsive people are to gentleness, to a meek and a humble approach. There's something about that that it has a way of sort of just breaking through those hardened hearts. And so that's the way we are to go about it. If you see a brother or a sister overtaken in a fault, ensnared in some sort of sin, you go with the motivation of restoration and you go in an attitude of gentleness, in an attitude of humility. But listen to what Paul says here as well. He says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, it's going to be really helpful for us if we realize that, you know what, we're vulnerable as well. We're all sinners. And under the right circumstances, we can find ourselves in things we never would have imagined that we could be in, because that's who we are. We're sinners. So when we approach a person who is, as he says here, who is overtaken in a trespass, who is ensnared in a sin, we must do so in a spirit of gentleness and keeping in mind that we have those vulnerabilities as well. And God is gracious. He's patient. And he wants to restore people. And he says, when we see people overtaken in a trespass, to be gentle, to be humble, and remember that we have those same vulnerabilities. So, the burden of sin. Now, Paul goes on to say, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this is part of bearing the burdens of others, is helping them out of the sin that they at times get entrapped in. Secondly, the burdens of life. Life just comes with burdens, doesn't it? There's all kinds of burdens in life. We have burdens related to family. And that involves so many different things. Struggles with in a marriage, struggles with raising children. We have burdens that are related to health. We have burdens sometimes due to financial struggles and difficulties. And of course, they're just, kind of an endless list of burdens that people can find themselves under. So we are to bear one another's burdens. And like I said initially, I can't really do that if I have no connection with anybody. This is why it's so important that we get close to each other, that we get to know each other. This is one of the reasons why we have reintroduced the whole idea of the community group or the home group, so that we can cultivate those kinds of relationships and be able to bear one another's burdens and do that easily because we're closely connected with others and we know what is happening with them. Now, there's two areas in which we can bear the burdens of others, or two ways. And the first would be to pray for people. To pray for people. In a small way, we are bearing the burden with them as we pray for them. And so let's never forget that prayer is a way that we can bear the burdens of other people. But then, of course, there is the practical bearing of burdens for those that we are in proximity to. People that we're close to. And in bearing the burdens of others, this is just, practically helping, coming alongside. Now, think about this. When you bear somebody else's burden, the idea is that you're actually going to take some of that burden on yourself. When you see somebody carrying some sort of a heavy load, and you come along, what are you doing? You're taking part of that load onto yourself. So if somebody's carrying, trying to struggle down the road with a 100-pound bag or box or something, you come along and lift the other end, well, you're taking 50 pounds of that right off there, but you're putting it on yourself. And the point there is this, that bearing the burdens of others has a sacrificial element to it. And so Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If I'm going to take the burden off somebody else, I'm actually going to put it partially on myself. But that's what we're called to do. But that's the very thing that oftentimes we don't want to do. And let's be honest, sometimes we don't want to get close to people because we don't want to know about their burdens, because we don't want to help out. And sometimes it's just because we're flat out selfish. And other times it's because we just feel like, I got enough of my own problems. But listen, it's a mutual thing. It's a mutual exchange. Yes, you're going to step up and bear somebody else's burden. You're going to take on some of that weight. You're going to make a sacrifice. But you know what? Somebody else is going to come along and do the same thing for you. And so this is the way that life in the body of Christ is to work. So we have to fight against the culture, even the culture of the church that we live in these days, where you can be still very independent of any kind of responsibility toward anybody else. You can be very individualistic. You can come to church, do your thing, get your blessing or whatever, and then just, that's it. And you go off, back into your own world. And many times you're back in your own world trying to bear the burdens and all. That's not the way it works. We need to share with one another. And sharing the load with one another is part of what we do. And in doing this, we fulfill the law of Christ. And so sometimes we see somebody who has a legitimate financial burden. And I say legitimate because oftentimes it's not really legitimate. But let's just say, no, this is a real situation. This is a family who have fallen on hard times. And, it's not out of laziness or neglect or anything. It's just, it's a rough season. And they need help. And I have the means to help. But if I help them, it's going to sort of deprive me of certain things. That's sacrificial burden bearing. That's what it looks like. But there's a third area of burden that he mentions here, and it's in verse 6. And this is what I was saying at the beginning. These are not disconnected thoughts. These are not postscripts. He's following along here. Now, verse 6 doesn't seem like it, but it is. Look at what he says. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Let him who is taught the word bear the burden of those who teach. That's what he's saying. So you see, it's tied back to the whole idea of helping one another with the burden here. Now, just really quickly, what Paul is saying here is that those who are taught God's word are to help alleviate the burden from those who teach God's word. Now, Paul said a similar thing to the Corinthians. He said, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should be supported by those who benefit from it. There are pastors in different places all around the world who are trying to do their best to shepherd a flock. And at the same time, sometimes they're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I know guys in positions like this or in different places around the world. I definitely know many people in this kind of place. Their congregations are not capable necessarily of financially supporting them just because of the economy where they're at. And boy, these guys are under the burden of trying to do a good job of pastoring, but yet having to do all of these other things as well. And so this is where we sometimes will come in and we will help alleviate that burden. We will give support to that pastor so that they can be somewhat freed up. Well, that's what Paul is saying to do here. So there's another area, and that is sharing in the burden of ministry, so ministry can go out freely and be effective. And on that note, just thank you for your generosity that you give regularly, because that's how ministry takes place. That's how we are freed. And some of those that I've just referred to, that's how we get freed up to do what God has called us to do. Now, you notice I skipped over verses 3-5, and that was intentional because I want to bring everything to a conclusion with these verses. And this is where it gets a little bit fuzzy. This is where it's like, okay, wait, how does this fit with everything that's being said? But let me read to you verses 3-5 again. So Paul just said, you know, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. But then he says this, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So what does that have to do with the burden bearing that he's talking about here? Well, verse 3, Paul is imagining, not without warrant, he's imagining that some people are going to resist what he's saying. And they're going to resist it on the basis of, I don't need to do that. If that person has a burden, that's their burden, too bad. I don't need to try to help them. They probably got themselves in this because of your responsibility, and you know, that's below me. I'm not going to do that. And you know, perhaps it's somebody who is, you know, maybe in a sort of a different category, class-wise. Now, we don't have a class society in the United States, but of course, there is that kind of a thing in many different places. But in every culture, we know that, you know, there are people who, you know, sometimes the educated look down on the uneducated, the rich look down on the poor. And, you know, I live in this neighborhood, you live in that neighborhood. I'm not going to have association with people like that. And, you know, all of that stuff, that's just human nature, right? And Paul's imagining that there's somebody who basically has that attitude. It's like, well, Paul, these are just a bunch of losers anyway. So, you know, that's their problem. I don't really need to do anything about that. But Paul says, if somebody thinks they're something, they're really nothing. And here's what we all have to recognize, that, you know, it is by the grace of God that we are what we are. And if we think that we are something, we got a rude awakening coming. We are only something because of God's mercy and grace over it. You know, there's a whole lot of people in this world one day who are going to have a really rude awakening, realizing that, you know, what they thought of themselves really had very little to do with them at all. And the pride and the arrogance and everything else that they had was just utterly foolish. Well, Paul is saying that that is not an attitude that is to be found among us as the people of God. We are to bear our own personal responsibility before the Lord, and our personal responsibility is to bear the burdens of others. And so when he says in verse 4, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load, he's basically saying here that there are burdens that I am responsible to bear, and there are ones that only I can bear. So all of us have the burden of the responsibility that God has put on us, and we alone can bear that. So God has called you to something. God has given you things. And with that, he said, okay, this is what you're responsible for. And it's not for somebody else to take that off of you. You're to do it. And it's not for you to take that off of somebody else. So we all have that common responsibility before the Lord. Every man has his own load to bear. In the King James Version, if you read verse 2 and verse 5, both verses use the word burden. but I'm using the New King James Version. And the New King James Version translates the second one more accurately. It doesn't translate it burden, it translates it load, because they're two different Greek words. The first is a burden like one that will crush you. The other is not that kind of a burden, but it's more just, it's actually the view of like a knapsack. It's like, these are your tools. This is, you know, you put this on your back. You put the stuff you need to get the job done and you go about your business. That's actually the meaning of the second word there. And again, Paul's point is that we each have our own responsibility before God. And so we're not to compare ourselves with others, but we're to be faithful to bear our own load. But then we have to recognize that there are burdens that we do need to bear that belong to other people. And that's the crushing weight that they themselves are not able to get out from under. Now, in closing, as I said from the beginning, to bear the burdens of others, we have got to be close to others. See, this is a thing that you have to intentionally make happen. You have to put yourself in this place. And we will only put ourselves in this place if we recognize that this is what the Christian life is. Like I said, the Christian life is a one another lifestyle. It's about being connected with other people. And, you know, we get hung up because we say, oh, you know, I don't know. Those people over there, I'm just not like those people. You know what? That is probably true if you take Christ out of the picture, but with Christ in the picture, that's no longer true. God brings, you know, he brings us together in these beautiful relationships. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to get close to people and you're going to realize, wow, these people have burdens. But you know what? God's gifted you and equipped you, and he's calling you to help bear the load for them. And they're going to discover, wow, you've got some burdens too. But hey, let us help you with that burden. And that's when this beautiful thing begins to really develop. And this is the thing that is so powerful. You know, if we as Christians, if we just lived what the New Testament says, if we really live this out, loving each other, bearing one another's burdens, not gossiping and, you know, slandering and backbiting and judging. And, you know, if we just stopped all of that and just did what we were supposed to do, you know, people would be beating down the doors of the church to get in, because there's nothing like this anywhere in the world. And unfortunately, it's sometimes sparse in the church. So let's, you know, let's be these people. This is what God's called us to. And as we do this, we fulfill the law of Christ. This is what Jesus did. He loved us sacrificially. He loved us unconditionally, and we're to do the same.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Years ago, Brian, who's in studio with me right now, said, Cheryl, we need to get really honest about our marriage to the missionaries here in Austria. We need to tell them just the things that God has done in our marriage and how it hasn't always been easy. And so I said, okay, Brian, I'll do it. And it was quite a sacrifice. And what I found out was
that somebody actually was recording that session.
That's
and
right.
A video was produced from it. So it kind of came as a surprise to us, but as a result of that video, a lot of people somehow got blessed. And so that is our offer for this month.
My humiliation.
Your humiliation. And it's called Marriage Essentials. And it's from a few years ago. But I have had numerous people, seriously, over the years tell me how much it ministered to them. I've had people tell me that they've used it to share with their unbelieving friends. And because, you know, somehow it ended up being a very humorous occasion.
Well, our marriage is pretty humorous.
Pretty humorous.
It's got a lot of joy.
Yeah. All right. So that's a DVD, Marriage Essentials.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson by going to our website, brianbroderson.uk. Scroll down until you see the photo of Marriage Essentials, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl that is sure to be a great gift for newlyweds, a help for marriages in trouble, and it's also an excellent tool for a marriage ministry. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Galatians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.